Alrighty, welcome to week 3 of the off-season cut on KZPT Audio. Once again, you're with Carl, and thank you for joining us again today. Now, if you've been listening in so far over the last couple of weeks, you'll know sort of where I'm at. I was down about 1.5 kilos from the start, starting at around 90.5 to 91. And dropping down a little bit each week. So starting with the first week in, dropped about 400 to 500 grams. Next week, dropped about 0.8. And today we've got a new low weigh-in of 89 kilos. So a total of 2.5 kilos now for the 3 weeks. Now, once again, pretty much exactly where I want it. I've been trying to say over the last couple of podcasts that I'm in this for the long run. I'm in this to take it slow. I'm taking a long-term mindset over a short-term mindset. You know, really trying to do it in a more sustainable way. These first 3 weeks have been great. You know, I haven't actually, since starting this, you know, it's funny because I work with a lot of people and I'll normally tell them as soon as we start training, depending on the person, you know, like it's usually a good idea to track your food, actually understand how much you're eating, so that you can make changes and be more deliberate with your food. Now, these last 3 weeks that have gone past, I have not actually tracked my calories once, right? I haven't tracked any calories. What this has been really about for me is it's more so about understanding my habits and understanding what feels natural to me so that I know where to start and know what changes actually need to be made. So today, the first thing that we're actually going to go through is I have for the first time calculated up some calories that I'm going to try for this week, and we can go through it together and you can decide on whether you think it's a good idea or a bad idea. I'm happy to hear your input. You know, I'm doing this just as much for myself as I am for everyone listening who's trying to drop a few kilos and, you know, or more, you know, and actually get on the right path to losing weight effectively. So basically what I'm going to look at now, if we switch over the screens, I'm going to go through it. So hopefully you're watching on YouTube or Spotify. If you're not, I'm going to go through everything anyway. So what we've got here is we've got our breakfast. By the way, sorry, if you are unsure on how to use MyFitnessPal on YouTube, I have a great video on how to actually understand MyFitnessPal, how to utilize it to the best of your ability, and what it's good for and what it's bad for. Okay, so I'm already skipped over the part of actually creating this. I've sat back over today and worked out what I think I want my day to look like, and I'll give the reasons as to why. All right, so there is 3 different types of MyFitnessPal users, okay? We first have the Avid Tracker. Now, the Avid Tracker is someone who pretty much every day will put their food into MyFitnessPal and decide on where it is. It'll give them their number on how much they've eaten each day. And, you know, it's every single one of these has their pros and cons. Now, the Avid Tracker, it is great because every single day you're going to know almost exactly where you are when it comes to how much you've eaten. Have you gotten enough protein? Are your carbs too high? Are your fats too high? What does your day actually look like? All right. So if you're good with that and you're actually willing to put in that work, that is a great option to, you know, track very frequently and actually put in a lot of days into MyFitnessPal. The cons to this is, and this is people that I've worked with specifically, this is something that I've experienced myself, is obviously burnout, okay? You are susceptible to, you know, when you're tracking every single day and you have to be completely accountable for every bit of food and drink that touches your lips, it does create sort of it can create a lot of guilt sometimes where, you know, you're not wanting to track. Like, you'll go out and you'll eat something that you shouldn't have and you're like, oh no, like I'll leave that out, you know, we won't track that. And then, you know, your numbers are off anyway. It does also create this a little bit of an obsession, I guess, with understanding your calories and knowing where you are with it. So that, it is good to have a little bit of obsession. At the end of the day, it is your health and you're trying to do the best thing for you. However, it's very time consuming and you can get stuck in a hole where, you know, you're eating in a certain way purely to reach numbers on the diary. You know, you're eating, you know, nuts at night because you've got less, you've missed out on 5 or 10 grams of fat. And it's a really weird relationship that can arise if you are one of the avid trackers. Can it get you results? Absolutely. It's a great way to actually make sure that you're staying on track. However, you have to be aware that, you know, that as you go on, it gets a little bit harder, and it can cause some micro obsessions within tracking. So there's the avid tracker, there is the set and forget. This is one that I am a little bit more like. Now, basically, the set and forget is you go through your MyFitnessPal or your calorie tracker basically once a week, sometimes even once a month or something like that. Depends if you know how well equipped you are with MyFitnessPal, and you set up your food and you make sure that it is sitting how you want it to. And then you just eat the same way and you find a way to keep that consistent. I really like this way. I have tried really hard over the last couple of years to cut that emotional attachment to food. It's worked in some ways, other ways it is obviously hard, but basically the set and forget, you put it all in this one time and then you look at the numbers and you're like, yep, it looks exactly where I want it to. These are the numbers, and then you can just go on with your life and you eat that way. And you know, if you go off that plan, then you know you do have to readjust, or you can do like some micro changes into your MyFitnessPal as it goes. But your overall layout of the day and your breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks tend to look extremely similar day to day to day to day. And I really like that way because, you know, number one, it teaches you consistency. It teaches you how to eat the same sort of foods over and over again and understand that it's important to keep some form of rhythm and a way to just track without tracking throughout the process. So I tend to be a little bit more of a set and forget kind of guy. However, the cons obviously are the second that you go out and you don't eat to your plan, then you're in a little bit of limbo and you're like, am I in the right calories? Have I gone under? Have I gone over? What am I doing? And it can create a little bit of doubt in your mind. So sometimes you might need to just go in and do a quick recheck. But I really like the set and forget way because it also gives you obviously the understanding of what you actually need. You know, you're still going in there and setting it up and making sure that, you know, it's done. And, you know, that's a really important part. And the third and final MyFitnessPal user is the estimator. Okay, so the estimator is someone who, you know, they'll think about it on, you know, they'll get to the end of the day and then that's when they'll start to track all their food. They'll sit down, you know, on a Monday night and they'll be like, okay, cool, what did I have today? I had a coffee in the morning, I had some muffins at breakfast, and then I think I went out to lunch, you know, so I'll just put in something there. And then they set it up that way. They're doing it sort of post eating. This way is probably one of the more dangerous ways for the long-term mindset of calorie tracking, because when you're looking at it after the fact, when you're tracking your food once you've already eaten it and you didn't weigh it at the time and you didn't pay a lot of attention at the time, what this can do is it's going to give you this false sense of security and it's going to give you this belief that you're on track. Because little do you know, our eyes are usually a little bit bigger than our mouths. So we'll look at it and we will very misrepresent how much we actually ate. So, you know, for example, you'll grab a handful of nuts, you know, sort of, and take it with you for work. And, you know, later on, you'll go and say, oh, yeah, you know, that was maybe 20 grams or so, and you know, you'll put 20 grams in, when in actual reality it was probably a little bit closer to 50 grams. And the vast difference between those two numbers can make it very, very hard to know whether you're on track. And this is where a lot of people will come in and say, you know, I've been eating 1200 calories for 6 months and my weight hasn't dropped. That is almost always not true. Okay, you've got to think of calories not as like this individual day-to-day thing, but it's the accumulation of calories over the whole week. So just because you eat 1200 calories on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but you don't track, or you don't really look at it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you go out to dinner and you catch up with friends and you have a few drinks and anything like that, all of a sudden your whole week is out of whack, and you weren't on 1200 calories for the week. You know, your average is probably now closer to 1700, 1800, 2000 and plus some. Okay, so another reason why I wanted to go through my actual MyFitnessPal log for myself on what I'm going to be pushing for the next week is to give you an idea of what 2000 calories actually looks like for someone. So we're pretty much going to get into that. Now, as I said before, a really bad way to track is to do it after the fact, to do it at the end of the night once you've already eaten. I much prefer people to actually pre-plan what their day is going to look like. Not only is it going to give you more control on how to track and what you should be eating, but it's going to allow you to look at it and you know, muck around and fudge the numbers a little bit so that it does fit. It works both ways, because then, you know, once you're tracking it at the end of the day, it's too late. If it's gone over or under or wherever it is, like it's already done. You can't do anything about that. If we're doing it the day before, where, you know, you're fresh, you have your goals in mind, you want to actually achieve it for the next day, you can get the exact numbers that you need, and then from there you can sort of push forward and then plan it for that day ahead, and you can sort of adjust on how it feels. Okay, so we're gonna get straight into it here right now. So as if you have watched any of my videos, I am a big believer in a high protein, moderate fat, low carb breakfast. I think it's the greatest way to start your day. I think it's sending great signals to your body on what energy system should be utilized at the time. So I always go for a higher protein, moderate fat, low carb breakfast. Now, obviously this is a little bit hard because there's not a lot of foods, or I guess breakfast foods, that are good for that. Okay, so my go-to is an oyster blade steak. I don't usually cook it in the morning. It's something that I'll cook up 3 to 6 of them at the start of the week, and then they're just ready to go in the fridge for me. All right, so we got oyster blade steak, spinach, just a little handful of spinach, just so that I'm not eating a straight steak. And then obviously tracking the olive oil that is used to cook the steak as well. This is where a lot of people also get stuffed up when it comes to MyFitnessPal. You don't track the condiments, but also, you know, like how you cooked it, right? That can look all really good, but if all of a sudden I'm using the actual olive oil and I'm using, you know, 10 to 15 grams or, you know, like 2 teaspoons worth of oil to cook some of these foods, we're gonna see my calories just go shoot straight up, because fat is a very dense calorie, right? It's a very dense macronutrient, I should say, with a lot of calories inside it. So you have to track all those micro things that you're having, because that is where people go out of control and they lie to themselves thinking that they're on way less calories than they are, and it causes problems in the long term because you keep thinking you need to cut down your food and cut down from 1500 to 1200 to 1000 to 8 to 7. You know, I've seen people go under 1000 calories, you know, and still claim that they're not losing weight. But the reality is you're not looking at the whole picture of everything that's going into your mouth at the time. Okay, so breakfast, I always keep it very simple. That's it: steak, spinach, a little bit of olive oil to cook it. I'll use my seasonings, just a little bit of salt, pepper, sometimes some taco seasoning, or if I got a steak seasoning there, I'll use that as well. I normally put that in, but I just tried to, you know, keep this a little bit quicker for you guys. All right, now lunch. Olive oil spray again, obviously. Chicken needs to be cooked somehow. With the chicken breast fillet, a quick cup of rice, a protein shake, which is usually after my workout. And then I also have my intra-workout Jet Mass, which has a little bit of carbs in there for my post-workout. Not necessarily recommend it for everyone. I can do another video on intra-workouts and the benefits and cons of them. However, I have to add that into my calories. Okay, so that's straight after lunch. And then for dinner, I'm going to be, I haven't been doing this as of yet. This is going to be a new thing while I'm trying to track and give you guys a better idea of how it works. It's been pretty much all up in the air. Sometimes I cook, sometimes Talia cooks. And so it's not always the same, but it always follows the same principle, which is it's got the protein source there, whether it's chicken, beef, fish, lamb, pork. I don't mind, keep it lean. It's one of those in dinner every single night. We have our carb source, which is usually roast potatoes or sometimes rice, depending on what it is. And then obviously we have some form of greens. That is something I'm trying to personally get a little bit better at lately. You know, it's very easy for me to skip greens. I'm not a huge fan of them. I hate cooking them, but we're slowly getting back on the bandwagon there. So to change that, instead of going for the veggies route, which, you know, can be a little bit annoying, we're going with the salad that Talia makes, an amazing Greek salad. You know, it's got the feta, it's got the leaf salad, it's got the olive oil, it's got some red onion. Very simple, but tastes really, really nice. Okay, so that's going to be my dinner. And then snacks, I've got one protein bar there. I put in the omega-3, or this is just the brand of omega-3 that I'm using at the moment. It's a plant-based one, and casein protein for the end of the night, which I'm double scooping at the moment because I really want to reach that protein goal of about 250, which is way higher than what I normally would do. I was doing 250 grams while I was prepping. Actually, it was a little bit closer to 220. However, in most cases, bumping up your protein is never a bad idea, especially when you're cutting, because number one, when you're cutting, your body is losing weight, it's losing mass. And how do we decide on whether it's gonna lose body fat or is it gonna lose muscle mass? You know, it can use both, and it will use both for energy when you're in a fat loss phase. The best ways to protect your muscle while you're on a cut is, number one, plenty of protein, at least 1 gram per pound of body weight, so I'm at 90 kilos at the moment. That's roughly 200 pounds. So 200 grams of protein is pretty much where I want it. I'm going to that extra end because that is something that I probably haven't been doing as much, not just in these last 3 weeks, but probably the last year and a half to 2 years coming out of COVID. My prioritizing of protein has gone way down, and it probably sits a little bit closer to 120 to 140 for me throughout the day without actually trying. So is that still enough to lose, to hold on to muscle? Yeah, pretty much. However, I want to personally see what it's like to bump those numbers up really, really high for the time being. Okay, now, 256 grams of protein, 65 grams of fat. Not too bad. You know, if I was in a bodybuilding style prep, I can assume that would usually be a little bit lower. Or I guess usually you want to keep it between that 40 to 60 grams. But as you can see there, with 73 grams of carbs, I'm going to need that little bit more energy to make sure that I can get through the day and not pass out at work. So 65 grams of fat, 73 grams of carbs. Now, the carbs is an interesting one. You know, you're going to get a lot of mixed opinions on not just this diet, but, you know, the whole thought of carbs and fats and proteins altogether. My personal view on carbs and fats and which ones should you have high and which ones should you have low. Carbs are fantastic for training performance. Carbohydrates is what should fuel your workouts, and your body should learn how to utilize carbohydrates effectively, right? Now, if you are a person who has been abusing high sugar diets and high carbohydrate diets for a few years, then you need to have a period of time where you teach your body to use something else other than carbs, right? So that fat can also have its role in there, because it's actually a lot harder than you think to separate carbs from fat in your diet. For those people that are buying out a lot of food and they're getting a lot of takeout, or they're buying just meals that they're not cooking themselves, you'll notice that a lot of the foods are high in carb and high in fat at the same time. So it's not as easy as you think to separate them unless you're eating from a bodybuilder-esque diet, you know, where you're using strict carb sources, strict fat sources, and strict protein sources. There's a reason why bodybuilders use, use lean proteins, so they always use, you always hear them eating chicken breast, broccoli, and rice, because you're actually like separating each individual macronutrient, right? You know, so, and that's why a lot of them, you know, you might see them eating like peanut butter, like straight out of the jar, or almond butter, or avocado, or, you know, there's even a few bodybuilders I know of that pretty much drink olive oil straight out of the bottle, which I think is just intense. But what these guys are doing is they're picking foods and they're making foods a part of their diet that are singularly high in one thing, so that they have full control. And when if they need to bump up their carbs, they know they're going to add just 20 grams of rice. It's not going to bump up their fats too much, and it's not going to bump up their protein. It's just going to be a carb meal, right? Same thing with like a peanut butter or something like that. That's got a little bit of protein, a little bit of fat, low carbs. So if they're low on fats for the day, then one scoop of peanut butter and you're good to go, right? That's why whey proteins are amazing. It's just protein. So you can just literally, if you're, you know, all your calories are good, all your other macros are good, your fats and carbs are good, but you still need 30 grams of protein, amazing. You just need one scoop and then boom, you're good to go. So that is the reason why a lot of diets that you see that people use to get extremely shredded and extremely lean, they look so bland and boring, because they're the easiest ones to manipulate when it's time to change your food. If you're using something like, you know, let's just say, for example, crumbed chicken, right? You've got the protein source, but you also have a high carb source as well, okay? So if you remove that and you remove the chicken, not only are you dropping, you know, your protein, you're also dropping your carbs. And so they're tied to each other and you can't manipulate it as easy. Okay, and this goes for a lot of different foods, but I just wanted to sort of help people understand, you know, why certain diets look the way that they do. Okay, now, as you can see, it's actually not a lot of food. Think about it: steak and spinach in the morning, chicken and rice with two drinks, you know, two workout drinks in there, and then we've got beef and salad with one protein bar in there. Okay, that's not a lot of food. That's three meals and a snack, you know? You know, even if we were to take out the two drinks, you know, then okay, that's, you know, that's 250 calories gone. I'd be closer to 1750 calories, which is, you know, obviously a little bit lower. But looking at it, it's not a lot of food. And so I hope you can look at this, right? And you can actually understand, or, you know, decide for yourself, are you really eating, you know, under 2000 calories? You know, are you that low that you're eating less than this, where it's basically just meats and one rice meal and the rest is like greens? The answer is most likely not. You know, you have to find where those chinks are, and you've got to understand as well, it takes one can of Coke, it takes one bar of chocolate to completely muck with this, right? So if I go in here and add right now, because this is what I've been doing, right? So let's say I was following this perfectly, but I had a slip up one night and I have, let me find it. Okay, let's say I open up a block of chocolate, all right? Now, the serving size is one row. Now, I don't know about anybody else in here, but I can never stop at one row. If I'm being 100% honest with you, normally it's about four rows where I start to feel, okay, I've had enough, okay? So I'm gonna go ahead and put, say, let's say I just do this one night. If the rest of my day was perfect, my breakfast was perfect, my lunch was perfect, my dinner was perfect, I had all my snacks, and then it gets to the end of the night and I'm a little bit peckish. We open up the block and I have four rows of caramel milk chocolate. Let's see what it does. Boom. All of a sudden, I've gone from 2,000 calories all the way up to 2,500 calories, right? My carbs, which were sitting at 70 grams, is now at 131, which is, you know, a maintenance in my opinion. And then we have fats at nearly 100 grams, which is way over what I need. okay, and protein did not move, essentially, right? So it does not take much for your diet to start to unwind itself. You know, we think that because we eat less somewhere else in the day that we can afford some of these things, but unless you're really paying attention, it's almost impossible to stay on track of it all. So this is where, if you're going to do something like this, you know, and you're actually really adamant about trying to, you know, look better, feel better, get strong, all of these things, it's good to do this at least once so that you understand exactly what you need. Okay, so I've seen enough there. Now, that is essentially what I'm going to be trying for the next week. I'm excited to see how it looks. I'm already on a new low from what I was. So 89 kilos I'm starting at this week, 89.0, which is still on the heavier side from what I want. You know, to be honest, I was hoping for it to drop a little bit faster during this time, but it is where it's on track. And I need to keep my own emotions in check, you know, about those scales, because that is a good drop. From Thursday to Thursday, that is a 1.5 kilos down. So that is actually more than what I could actually want. And even though, you know, in these early stages where you still feel a little bit fluffy and you don't look exactly how you want to look, even though it was a 1.5 kilo drop, you're sort of looking and you're sort of like, could have been a bit better, or, you know, we'll just wait till the next week, you know, and hopefully we see more. And you think that way, but instead of actually getting really excited for yourself that, you know, whatever it is that you did, you were able to see those results and you were able to push forward and lose 0.5, 0.8, 1.2, 1.5, whatever it is over the week. That is amazing, you know, and the better we can learn to stack those weight losses on top of each other rather than getting it once and then sort of falling off for a little bit and then starting again. Oh yeah, I'm so keen to do it again. The better we're going to be long term. All right. So one last thing I really wanted to top on for this podcast was something that I'm really noticing with some of my clients who are really actually starting to see some progress, you know, dropping anywhere from 10 to about 30 kilos for some of these people. And something really funny that people seem to be talking about with it is struggling to accept compliments. It's a very hard one, and I actually quite understand where they're coming from. You know, basically what happens is there's a lot of people, you start to lose weight and you start to feel good and you get into the process and you go into the gym and people notice this, right? People notice that you're doing something new, that you're trying harder and you're saying no to more things and you're being more dedicated, and they feel the need, you know, those people that notice it feel the need to say, wow, you're looking good, or wow, you're really dedicated at the moment, or man, you're really becoming a gym jack. Whatever the compliment is, when it comes across, I have a lot of people that I'm working with at the moment that struggle with that compliment. And, you know, it's more so comes that what goes through their mind is more like, why do you care? Like, why are you looking at me, you know, and why are you, like, are you saying that what I was doing before was not okay? Are you saying that, you know, now that you notice, or like, now I'm worthy of a compliment when I wasn't before? It can sort of really cause all sorts of weird emotions, especially when you're in the process still and you're still trying to get to where you are, or to where you want to be. You know, when you're not there yet, it's extremely hard to accept those compliments because you don't feel like you deserve them internally. Yeah, it can just create a lot of emotional, not distress, but, you know, just a real conflict between, like, they're trying to be nice. You know that they're coming from a good place and they're trying to support you, but your brain is telling you, like, number one, you don't deserve it. You're not there where you need to yet, where you need to be. And number two, like, what are you trying to say about the person I was before? I want to address this because one of the things that I guess is important to this long term is making health and fitness a part of your personality. You know, it's making it something that, you know, you genuinely love. I can promise anyone here that's listening, If you don't enjoy what you're doing, exercise-wise, food-wise, training-wise, if you're not enjoying it to some extent, where like even if it is you in just enjoying pushing yourself to new limits where you are uncomfortable, you need to find some form of enjoyment in there, or else it's not gonna last. Right, you're going to do this for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, 6 months, whatever it is, but the second something better comes along, and the second, you know, it's no longer fun to do this, it's just going to fall off and it's going to go out the window, and you're going to have to start from scratch. And you know, I'll probably hear from you in about 2 years saying that you've let it all go again and you want to get back to where you were, right? So the pieces of advice I gave to one of the guys that I was training was, you need to learn to accept it on some level, even if it's on a base level, even if it's on just the outer layer where you can just say, oh, thank you, that means a lot, and then just leave it. Even if you don't necessarily feel it straight away, your brain is just as much of a muscle as your actual muscles are. You know, you need to get positive reinforcement for doing what you're doing and allow the feel-good emotions to come from that. You know, yes, it's a little bit vain, and what we're doing and what I'm trying to do right now, you know, it's a lot of it is coming from an aesthetic point of view where you're trying to change the way that you look and feel, you know. And yes, there's obviously so many other aspects of it. You know, there's the fitness and feeling confident and feeling healthy and feeling all of those things, and you're doing it for you. You wouldn't be able to get to where you are if you weren't somewhat doing it for yourself because you wanted to feel more confident. But you also have to understand that it is appealing, you know, and a lot of people that are looking at you and giving you these compliments, they're giving you these compliments because they wish they could do it too. They wish that they actually, you know, whether it was they had the guidance to do it, or they had the motivation or the willpower or the time, or they wish that they were able to do what you were doing at the moment, you know, or it's coming from someone that's already done it and it really respects how hard it is to actually do it, right? Either way, they're not coming from a place of like, oh yeah, I'm gonna, you know, gosh, good job, you know, like trying to think that, you know, their compliment is, you know, going to necessarily help in some way. It's just coming from a place where they're like, yeah, I see you, I recognize you, you know, and good job for it, you know, I'm really happy for you. So you need to frame it in a way where you can accept that. You can accept that compliment when you're on this journey and use it as fuel to keep going, right? It's a hard place to sort of go through, and I totally get it, because when I went through my comps and stuff, and you know, obviously I'm sitting out to dinner with family and friends, and I'm eating out of a Tupperware container, and my jawline is like, my jaw is looking real sick and my cheekbones are sticking out and I'm looking almost a little bit sick, you know, and people are like, oh my God, you have the most dedication, you're amazing, you know, this is, you know, I don't know how you're doing it, want to ask all these questions, and I'll just sit there and I'm like, just please stop. I'm just trying to get through it, let alone like having to engage in this conversation and having to think. And it's real, it happens. And looking back on it, I wish I didn't, and I used it in a more positive way where I'm like, yeah, you know what? I am doing something that's hard. I am doing something that most people couldn't do, you know, or most people aren't willing to do, I should say. And, you know, looking back, that's how I wish I took those sort of moments. But to anyone out there that is, I guess, in the zone and really working on just themselves and aren't looking for that outside validation, I want you to think about it in the sense of they're really honestly trying to help and trying to, you know, acknowledge the hard work that you're putting in. It's not the other way around. So keep pushing forward, use it as fuel, even if it is, you know, even if it doesn't sit just right, you know, turn that around and actually make sure that you continue to show and you just keep doing you and getting to your goal that you're after. All right. Awesome. All right. So this is week 3 update, and I hope this has been a little bit helpful. I'm trying to keep them around that 30-minute mark to make sure that, you know, they're easily digestible. I hope you are listening to this while you're doing some form of cardio, you know, and you're keeping active while you're doing this. They're 35 minutes long, this one, so keep going. I'm going to be doing this again next week. We're going to go through progress photos again. I'm going to go a little bit more into my training next week. This time I really wanted to look at the food, and you can get an idea of what I'm doing over the next week. But next week we'll go a bit more into the details of the training and what I'm doing, and, you know, hopefully some takeaway stuff that, you know, you can add to your own training, and, you know, frame that mindset into better training for you. All right, cool. I will see you guys all next week. Keep it up and let's do it. Eat better, train better, live better. See ya.